I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
To the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we are going to bring in our friend, longtime friend, super friend of the show. He now calls Letterman's Row home. He called the Dispatch home for many, many years, and he is Tim May. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. How are you fellas doing? I'm in Houston, Texas with a buddy of mine, Jeff Snook, and we're about to head up toward the College Station area to go to Alabama at Texas A&M tomorrow. I'm fired up. Can you tell it by the tone of my voice?
Yes. I find it interesting that a man who covers college football each and every week of his life for the last, 45 years? How many years?
Yeah, pretty much 45 or so.
40 somewhere. Chooses to go to a college football game when Ohio State is off.
Well, see, you and my wife, y'all ought to get together because she finds it, you know. But I was planning on is my big line is I was when I first, you know, decided to retire at the end of the year last year. This was what I was going to be doing almost every weekend, going someplace I hadn't been for a while. And then some people like Letterman Rowe, et cetera, made me a couple of offers that I couldn't refuse because I still got to pay my Medicare premiums. You know what I mean? But in my off weeks, as they will say it goes, I'm off. I'm off and going somewhere. I'm going to the Notre Dame-Virginia Tech game here in a couple of weeks, too, you know. So wait,
are you going as a fan or are you actually covering the game?
Oh, I'm going. No, I'm going to sit in the stands. And it's funny, I grew up a huge Alabama fan. You know, I've told you that, you guys, that many times. But like I said, I quit crying when Alabama got beat when I was 12 years old, you know. So, but in being a sports writer all your life, it does jaundice you a little bit from the standpoint of giving a care who wins, just like to watch the game. I love watching football, and I especially love college football. And the atmosphere is like a Texas A&M game, the pregame. I haven't been there since 1974, and I'm sure it's twice what it was back then. But just, you know, Kyle Field's like 102,000 now. It's going to be packed tomorrow. And Alabama, it's kind of like Texas A&M's last shot at proving it's an improved program under Jimbo Fisher this year, even though they're really playing for next year, kind of like the Miami Dolphins. But bottom line is I just get fired up about going to college football games.
It's funny because I would never know any of this stuff because of your Columbus accent. You know,
I know. It is interesting. I have – because all my brothers, you know, and people down here who've known me think I have a Yankee accent now. So, you know, I can't win for losing.
Tim, will you wear an
and
Alabama?
You're back in Southeast Texas, so that's perfect.
Yeah.
Back in Southeast
that's
Texas.
That's exactly where I am. Matter of fact, I mean, we're in Houston right now, headed toward the College Station Metroplex.
So, will you wear an Alabama jersey to the game?
No.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I've got an Indy 500 cap I'll be wearing.
Nice.
And you know what I like about it? The great thing about it is it says Indy 500 on the front, but on the back, it says, "This is May." That's one of my favorite part about the cap.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I was sitting down at the television, Tim, looking for a real entertaining football game last weekend. The Buckeyes against the Sparty, and I texted my buddy who went to Michigan State, and every time they play, I just texted him, "Sparty, good luck." And yeah. I was not entertained. Ohio State just looks so dominant right now, Tim. How good is this Buckeye team for Ryan Day?
It's real good, but you know that game. I mean, that was a slugfest in the beginning. As I've said, you know, the Ohio State. I learned a lot about the Ohio State offensive line, for example, about how tough it is from that game because Ryan Day was determined they were going to run the ball because that was the one thing offensively that was missing last year from them on a 13-1 season was they couldn't move people out of the way when they really needed to. And they relied too much. Well, maybe not too much. They went 13-1, but they relied heavily on the passing game last year in Dwayne Haskins Jr. And bottom line is that was a sound, tough Michigan State front seven that they eventually rooted out of there. And ended up running for over 300 yards against a team that was only giving up 57 and a half yards a game rushing. So, but back to your point, you know, I didn't think Michigan State was going to have a great offensive day, but if they'd hit a couple of plays, it could have been a great game. I don't know why I'm talking myself into this hole. I agree with you. Ohio State, the first six games, has gotten increasingly better. You can see it. And that's why people are talking about it being, you know, maybe the best team in the country at this juncture. I'm interested in watching Alabama live tomorrow because Alabama clearly has some problems on defense, but their offense is just almost as good an offense as they've ever had at Alabama. So, you know, how are these teams going to match up? You're never going to know until late December.
Tim, I'm interested. I know they've got the week off, and you know, I've said this to you last week. I'm really impressed with the way Ohio State has transitioned, and I know it's not a gigantic transition when you bring a coach in that's already been there, but they just look so smooth, and everything seems to be running well. And I know Northwestern's on the horizon here too, but a bye week, good thing or bad thing for this team right now?
No, it was a good thing. I mean, if you watched Ohio State's last touchdown last week. You know, Justin Fields kept off the right edge there, and J.K. Dobbins had a great block on the Bocce kid, the linebacker who came in, and Justin Fields got popped right at the goal line. He scored, but he got popped right in the left hip, left thigh area. I mean, he was banged up, you know, leaving that game. Like he said, that's probably the roughest game he's had yet as a starter. And so it's good when you can give people time to kind of let the bruises thaw out, so to speak. And some guys, you know, like Chase Young's been playing at a high level. Let them kind of, you know, breathe a little bit. But yeah, I think the off week came at a great time for them. You know, the thing is, they've got another off week in like 3 weeks. So you know, that'll be after they play Wisconsin. So that might be a good timing also before they start the games in November, which are the ones you remember.
Yeah, what do you think about stretching that out and having two bye weeks during the season?
I think if they're separated a little bit more than what Ohio State's are, it's a good thing. I mean, you know, you keep thinking back to some of these teams that, you know, back in the early days of football when there were few rules and some teams play. I think Sewanee one time, the University of the South one time played like five games in 6 days or something, you know, back in the day. That was really back in the day. But, anytime you can give a break. You know, really, if you figured out football and what would be best for players, they probably wouldn't play any more than every 10 or 12 days. But, you know, scheduling doesn't allow you to go to play football, you know, from August to March.
Isn't that the truth?
Hey, I don't know why it wouldn't, though. When you think about how popular football is, why not stretch it out?
I thought something interesting occurred this week. Urban Meyer, who works for Fox now, was on with Colin Cowherd, who works for Fox. And Colin Cowherd was kind of getting on him a little bit about, hey, look, you got this kid at LSU who you didn't take advantage of in Joe Burrow. And Urban had to set him straight. And I think it shows the embarrassment of riches more than anything, Tim. But I thought it was really interesting that Cowherd needed to be set straight by his now coworker. Joe Burrow was at Ohio State, was, you know, a good-looking young quarterback, but he's not going to beat out JT Barrett. Then they picked Dwayne Haskins. Well, who's going to argue with that? And this year it would have been Justin Fields, I would assume, more than, you know, over Joe Burrow. That said, Burrow's been phenomenal at LSU. Well, but to me, it's a credit to Ohio State that you had such great quarterback play that a guy who might win the Heisman had to transfer away to get playing time.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I had Jim Burrow, Joe Burrow's dad, on my podcast several weeks ago after Joe, you know, did what he did at Texas. You know, that was a great game and put him on the map. And, you know, he outlined kind of what went down there in that spring of 2 years ago when Ohio State didn't clearly define after spring ball that Dwayne Haskins, you are number one, Joe Burrow, you are number two. Joe, I think, felt like he had played well enough to maybe have earned that coming out of the spring. And, you know, Urban Meyer and his staff wasn't ready to declare that. And you know, this, now Joe Burrow's candle is really – the wax is really burning on it from a playing time standpoint in college football. And he opted to go somewhere where he might have a better shot to prove himself number one, as opposed to a dead heat going into the preseason camp. And, you know, I mean, clearly he was disappointed, but, I mean, he's come back and visited Ohio State a few times. I mean, Ryan Day and him have had nice conversations. And so this idea that somebody wrote a thing that he, you know, the week of the Texas game, that he was basically run off at Ohio State. Well, that wasn't the case at all. Ohio State would love to have had Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins on the same bench last year, without a doubt, because that's two, as you're seeing, two high-level big-time quarterbacks. But, I mean, everybody transfers now, right?
All the time.
I mean, wow, you look at the Heisman race right now, and you got Justin Fields, you know, sitting here at Ohio State, and you've got Joe Burrow, you got Jalen Hurts sitting at Oklahoma, and where were they sitting 2 years ago? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, let me follow that up. How good is Joe? You think he's got an NFL starter future ahead of him, or does he have NFL journeyman quarterback career ahead of him?
Tom Brady has never checked off all the boxes from the standpoint of he's got adequate arm strength, not over the top, not Dan Marino arm strength. He's not fast, but where he checks the box biggest is the ability to assimilate what he's seeing in front of him and make an instant decision and make the pass or make the play, make the throwaway. Joe Burrow is showing more and more of that moxie every day. That's what Dwayne Haskins Jr. had going for him last year, I thought, at Ohio State, which separated him. And that's what you've got right now. I mean, when you watch, there were times when you watched that game against Texas with Joe Burrow, and he had almost the demeanor of Tom Brady about him. And, you know, tomorrow is a big game, tomorrow night, when they play Florida. They got beat by Florida last year. Game to watch, because I think Florida's defense is playing pretty well right now. And but clearly Joe Burrow has elevated LSU's offense, so much so that Ed Orgeron and stuff, they've gone with the Joe Burrow giddy-up offense. And so that's what I think of Joe Burrow. I mean, I've known him since he was, 16, 17 years old, always been impressed by just dealing with him. I mean, this is a guy that wore a Dellavedova, you know, T-shirt that he got when he was like 13 or 14 and kept wearing it even though it clearly didn't, quote, fit him anymore. And he's just an interesting dude. You know, that deal when he was doing that parade wave to the Texas fans near the end of that game, that's just a little bit of an insight into what kind of his makeup. There's a lot of a belief there, confidence, and cockiness that I really like, but also backed up by ability. He can run well enough to beat you if all else fails, but he would rather stand back there and pick you apart.
Tim, I have 30 seconds for this question. So listen, on Friday night, Ohio State plays next Friday night, and this will be the big story of next week. What do you think about, you know, Ohio State playing on Friday night? I can live with the fact that it's on the road, but I wonder how it would affect things if the game was in Columbus. What do you think of Friday night Big Ten football?
I'm not a fan of it because I think it does affect attendance at high school games, but only probably if Ohio State or Penn State are playing, because, you know, I mean, Indiana can play Purdue, and who cares on a Friday night. But the other thing is it starts at 8:30 Eastern time, which means most high school games are almost over by then. You know, it'll just be the second quarter when you get home. But, you know, Ohio State is pretty much – they might do it once, they said, but it's not going to become a habit of Ohio State playing a home game, because they do understand the sanctity of high school football, just like down here in Texas.
All right, Tim, thank you. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week. I can't wait till we discuss this playing on Friday night thing a little bit more. Thanks,
more
Tim.
More in depth. You got it. Always a pleasure, my friend.
We're a big fan. Thank you, Timmy. Make sure you check out his podcast, Letterman's Row. He is Tim May, and he's always nice. He was in Texas today, and he joined us. That's how good he is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.